welcome back to the Just Justine Time podcast with your host, Justine, or KittyCat23, depending on where you know me from. How is your wonderful day going? Is it going good, bad? Well, no matter what, I hope you're getting through it. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about uncommon disorders, which is like my favorite topic to talk about because there are some really interesting disorders out there that a lot of people don't know about, and it really sucks because I truly think a lot of people have a lot of stigma around like uncommon mental disorders. Considering like if we go back into the day, like back in the day in history, we usually, you know how we talk about how mental health was like shunned and that you were deemed as crazy if you had like depression, anxiety, or like anything. Even though nowadays depression, anxiety, all of that is getting better recognized and there's like more help for everyone and everything, there is still some mental disorders that a lot of people turn a blind eye to and still to this day call people crazy for having these disorders, even though there is nothing you can do about it. If someone has depression, if someone has multiple personality disorder, it's still it's not the same mental disorder, but it's still the same thing. It's something that is affecting the brain mentally. Just because it's a different thing from the common ones like depression and stuff doesn't mean that those people should be shunned too. Like if we talk about back in history when asylums were a thing, people who had bipolar disorder usually seemed to be very high-strung people, very angry, very lashing out kind of people, and they got put into straitjackets. But now we don't get straitjacketed. But why is it that with some of these disorders that I'm going to talk about, people still think it's crazy? Though I do understand the argument with societal norms and everything, where, you know, if like one of these disorders, like if you believe that you're dead, then like maybe some people will look at you funny, even though it is a serious thing that like we really need to talk about, because like we're not going to go back to lobotomy anytime soon. So hopefully that there is some more like medication and stuff, but these are some of the uncommon psychology disorders that you can have in the world, and most of them don't have treatments, but some of them do. Let's start off with the first uncommon disorder, which you guys actually might know ever since Gypsy Rose came out with her story and the documentary on HBO, I'm pretty sure. That is Munchausen's syndrome. And if you don't know what Munchausen's, it's such a hard word to say. Munchausen syndrome is known as a disorder where someone actually fabricates or fakes sickness or illness. It is a psychological disorder as well as a behavioral condition, and a lot of people get brought up like this if they have helicopter parents most of the time, but you could also argue that helicopter parents have Munchausen's by proxy. If you don't know what Munchausen's by proxy is, it is essentially someone who is making someone else sick by doing specific things. Now, the most common and the reason why Munchausen's disorder is a lot bigger in the media and in social, like in life in general, is because of the story of Gypsy Rose. If you do not know who that is, Gypsy Rose was a little girl who back in the day her mom took care of her, and it was claimed that she had a bunch of disorders from like cancer to like neurodegenerative disorders to like anything you could really think of. And it got to the extreme where there is a point in Gypsy Rose's life and in the documentary that her mom actually ends up pulling her teeth out to make it seem like she lost all of her teeth due to a rare condition that she had. And digging a little more deep into it, so if you guys don't know, the documentary basically covers the life of Gypsy Rose and just what she did. If you don't know the full story, Gypsy Rose and her boyfriend at the time, her boyfriend actually murdered her mother, and she got sentenced to jail for it. And it was a big controversy. Even I am on the side where Gypsy Rose should have never went to jail for it, especially what came out with her mother. But essentially, yes, she was never sick, she was never paralyzed, she never had to be wheelchair bound, but her mom had Munchausen's by proxy syndrome, which essentially made her do very bad things to her daughter, give her medications that weren't good for her. And there's also another movie, I think it's called Run, I forget, but that's also a Munchausen's by proxy. That's a fictional story, but that also is the same thing where I'm not sure if the same medications were used, but in Run, dog medication was given to the girl to make her paralyzed from the waist down, which I'm going to guess that Gypsy Rose had a similar situation of that because she couldn't walk either. But then in the documentary, hashtag spoilers, if you are currently watching Gypsy Rose or want to see it, don't listen for like the next 5 minutes, I would say. But essentially, it turns out that during her life, there was a bunch of, like, child hospital donations. Make-A-Wish Foundation came and helped them. I think they actually fundraised for a whole new wheelchair-accessible house. And, you know, her mom was, like, swarmed with greed. And, like, she loved the attention. And a lot of people with Munchausen syndrome love attention, especially if it's Munchausen syndrome or Munchausen by proxy. Most of the time it is this word is going to be the death of me, I swear. But Munchausen by proxy is more common solely because a lot of kids can't really control their own needs until they're older. And with Gypsy Rose, when she was older, I think 13 or 14, she realized that she could walk and that there was nothing wrong with her. And she actually started fighting her mom for it, but her mom ended up chaining her to the bed, breaking her fingers. Like, it was absolutely insane. But it ended up that she met this guy online. She faked this whole persona and everything. She then told this guy what her mom was doing and that she wanted her mom dead because she was sick of being under this control. She was sick of having her teeth ripped out and getting pumped and fed these medications that she never really had. And she also was shaved bald because she had to fake cancer. Well, her mom wanted her to fake cancer. So yes, one day they came up with a plan and the boyfriend went inside, ended up murdering her mother, and they got caught shortly after. And I'm pretty sure in the documentary, Gypsy Rose actually does, like the real Gypsy Rose does show up in the documentary, and she talks about her time being in jail where she said that she loved it there because it's the only outside world she's really ever seen. So she's not really complaining about that, and I'm not exactly sure what happened to the boyfriend, to be honest, but that is essentially the thing of Gypsy Rose. If you're wondering where Munchausen's syndrome comes from, there was a German aristocrat named Baron Munchausen, and he was famous for telling wild and crazy stories about his exploits and past things. So it ended up being named after him because it turned out that everything he had was faked. So basically, yeah, it's basically fabricating stories. It doesn't technically have to be sickness. You can have Munchausen syndrome to a point where you're just like constantly lying. It doesn't even have to be about sickness. It can be about stories. It could be like, I jumped off the Eiffel Tower. And just kind of like that, though, that is veering into compulsive lying disorder, which is also a mental disorder, though not uncommon. There is an actual disorder where people feel the need to lie more than to say the truth, and it's nothing against them. It's not that they want to lie to you. It's just that is the first thing that gets blurted out of their mouth, and it's known as a defensive mechanism. I could go more into it in another episode if you guys want. Feel free to leave comments down below if you want that. But regardless, moving on to the next uncommon disorder, which is actually semi-related to Munchausen syndrome, but not really because they are two separate disorders. And this is called fictitious disorder. If you do not know what fictitious disorder is, it is essentially where someone is obsessed with being sick. So people will go to extreme length to be sick. Like, you know how some, like, when you see someone sneeze or cough in public, you kind of are like, whoa, like, stay away from me, I don't want your sickness. With fictitious disorder, people will, like, be like, yes, like, cough on me, sneeze on me, because they want to be sick. It does stem from wanting attention, but there is also an obsession with just being constantly ill. This could stem from as minor as just putting up a ruse and faking that people are sick. And the person who has fictitious disorder will create a long list of stories, and they tend to jump from hospital to hospital because most of the time doctors do find out that, hey, you're not actually sick. And so once that happens, they tend to jump to another hospital so that they can get the same treatment. This is the exact opposite of hypochondria. And ironically, I'm pretty sure this is totally a self-diagnose. I'm probably not. But I feel like it, I think for me, it stems from my social anxiety and just anxiety in general. But I low-key joke about being a hypochondriac. I know if you guys know Moist Critical or Charlie, he is a hypochondriac and he talks about it all the time. And I actually have similar fears like that. And if you don't know what a hypochondriac is, it is the fear of getting sick and the fear of just dying in general from just crazy bizarre ways. The reason I relate to this is that driving, I'm not a scared driver. I don't have anxiety while driving, but oh my goodness, thinking of the route to get there. So like when I get my eyelashes done, right, I have to drive 40 minutes to my lash lady because I know I do the commute because I absolutely love her. So yeah, but essentially, I always fear that I'm gonna get into a car accident. Like, it's essentially like, I'm gonna get into a car accident today. Or if my lung hurts, you know, like how sometimes, like, your heart hurts for a second and you, like, can't breathe for, like, a millisecond and then you inhale and you're fine? I honest to God think I'm dying. I'm like, oh my God, I have to go to the doctor. I'm going to die. Another example of this is my friend actually had a rash on his face, and it was from shaving. He just shaved, so he got a shave rash, but I saw it, and I was like, oh my God, like, that could be skin cancer. Like, you need to go get that checked out. Like, if it doesn't go down, you need to get it checked out. That is how I am with hypochondria. I fear the worst, essentially, and that is what hypochondriac is where you fear the worst in each situation. I do know Charlie came up with a story of his that he feared about, and if you guys watch him, you probably know this story, but it is essentially where he was in a movie theater. There was a bat flying around the movie theater, and it was a boring movie, and he ended up falling asleep, I think he said for like less than 5 minutes, but he was convinced that in that 5 minutes, he got bit by the bat, and since a bat bite, you can't feel if you got bit. He was convinced that he got rabies, and so he was like terrified and actually went to the hospital and got a rabies shot because of how paranoid he was. So I definitely can relate to that. I've been to the doctor about stupid things, and I feel like they just end up laughing at me half the time, but like, it's a genuine concern. Like, if you have a concern about yourself, you should be able to go to the doctor and like, just, I guess, fact checked that it's fine. But regardless, back to fictitious disorder, people do go to certain extents where they will actually use like dirty needles and stuff to inflict an illness on themselves. This does stem from mental trauma and like past neglect, but it actually affects less than 0.5% of the population. So this is a very rare disease. I have never met anyone with it. I've actually never even heard stories about it. It is a mental disorder that is out there in the world. And the sad part is that there is absolutely no cure for this disorder, though it could be limited with psychotherapy, which is just essentially talk therapy, but it's a mental condition. People tend to just not be able to control the urge of being sick. Though that being said, I'm pretty sure the difference between fictitious disorder and Munchausen's is that fictitious disorder, you want to be sick, whereas Munchausen syndrome is essentially, you don't necessarily want to be sick, but you want the attention from being sick. So, like, you know, like Make-A-Wish Foundation, essentially fake all of your symptoms so you get to that point, but not actually be sick. Whereas fictitious disorder, like, someone would absolutely love to have COVID. To put it bluntly, someone with fictitious disorder would, like, actively find ways to go get COVID-19 because they want to feel sick. So, the same as Munchausen syndrome, there is self-imposed fictitious disorder, and there's fictitious disorder on another person, or imposed on another person. And it's exactly like Munchausen's self-imposed fictitious disorder is where you yourself will make yourself sick, and you will falsify problems that you don't have. So let's say multiple personality disorder. You will try and fake that you have different personalities and fake it so much that you get psychology testing. And since psychology testing is purely of what you say to a therapist and they diagnose you, if you are convincing enough, most of them might actually diagnose you with that if you are really good at it. Whereas fictitious disorder imposed on another is the exact same as Munchausen by proxy, where you are trying to actively make someone else sick. And again, they are different because fictitious disorder is where you actively want to make someone sick, whereas Munchausen's is you do want to make them sick, but it's more for the attention. With fictitious disorder, whether you gain attention or not, it is just the feeling of love the feeling of being sick, or love the feeling of someone else being sick. So this mostly harms children, elderly people, and even disabled people. A lot of people who are disabled under another person's care might go through fictitious disorder imposed on another. So it's very harmful to yourself and people, especially if you're going to extreme extents of, like, I don't know, licking toilet seats or licking trash cans in order to get sick. Though you can get sick by doing that, it is very dangerous and deadly. And I've heard stories of fictitious disorder where people will go to the point of drinking antifreeze. If you don't know, drinking antifreeze can kill you. It is an unalive method that people do, but if you drink just a teeniest amount, you actually get really nauseous, you puke, sweat, fever, everything, but you don't actually die, though you're very close. That is essentially what fictitious disorder is, wanting to get there without dying, which I think is crazy. I hate being sick, and if any of you guys are out there are like me, I hate not being able to breathe, and I pray to God every single time I'm sick, and I'm like, please give me back my breathability, because once you're sick, you don't realize, like, how much of a, like, gem it is to just breathe normally. I haven't been sick in a very long time. I think it's been a couple months. So I'm quite happy that I'm not sick often. The only time that I've been, like, truly really sick was when I had pneumonia back in grade 6. That was terrible for me. I had to get put into very extensive care. I remember my mom, it was to the point where I couldn't breathe, like, sleeping at night, and so, like, I would just stay up wheezing. I did not know the term wheezing until I had pneumonia. It hurts. It actually hurts not being able to breathe. And I remember my mom, she gave me hot toddies. And if you don't know what a hot toddy is, it is essentially the old day sickness cure. You take whiskey, butter, hot water, and lemon, I'm pretty sure, and it's supposed to knock you out. And I remember she gave me, like, 3 of them, and, like, I did sleep, but not really good. But it does help. But now we have Neocitrin, and we have NyQuil. Do not give your kids whiskey. that is something they did back in the day. But I mean, hey, whatever works, right? If NyQuil is not working, maybe a hot toddy might work. I don't know. Though I was in grade 7 at this time, so it's like, it's not like I didn't know what alcohol was. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. Totally didn't drink when I was in grade 7. Not at all. Moving on to the next uncommon disorder. This is depersonalization or derealization disorder. And this is essentially where you yourself do not think you're physically present. It's a separation from oneself to one's surroundings. So essentially, if you know the term, like, a dreamlike state, that is what derealization could look like. Yeah, it's basically like a dreamlike state. Patients who have derealization disorder tend to seem like they are observing themselves from a outside perspective, kind of like a third person view. Their surroundings and time do also get distorted. So that is why I say dreamlike, because if you yourself are a vivid dreamer, I am a very vivid dreamer. I dream at least once a night. And, you know, it's very common to only remember, like, 2 seconds of your dream. Like, if I were to think of what I dreamed about last night, I know that I dreamed that I was in a school for a millisecond. But, of course, I forget because it's now, 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So, of course, I don't remember my dreams. And, of course, some people remember more dreams than others. If you do know the term lucid dreaming is where you have full control of your dream. I've been able to do it twice. It is the most craziest thing, albeit I only did it for like 10 seconds, I think. It was essentially, I realized I was dreaming, and I always go to flying. I'm always like, all right, let's jump off a building and fly. And that's what I always do. But my brain gets so excited that I know that I'm in a dream that you end up waking yourself up. And that's actually what happens a lot of the time with lucid dreaming. Your brain doesn't like that it knows that you're sleeping, which is pretty funny. But there is ways to train to go into a lucid dream state. There is 3 key points if you want to try it out. And one is when you are dreaming, look at your fingers. I know when you're dreaming, you can't tell your brain to do this, but if you try and like set reminders and stuff, you possibly can. But they say if you look down at your hands will be very distorted and moving. Time will change. I've seen this once in my dream where I've looked at the time and it was 12 p.m. and then I looked back and it was 4:20 and I was like, what is going on? Though I didn't clue in that it was a dream, you know what I mean? But I did. It's really crazy how that works. And also words in dreams. You cannot read in a dream. It's all blurry. Your brain cannot, your logical side of your brain, it does not work. It's shut down when you are sleeping. So that is why you actually can't read during dreaming. But when you have derealization or depersonalization disorder, it feels like you're constantly in this dream state. The closest example I could give to the same feeling is essentially just dissociating, or like, you know, when you're just kind of staring at a wall, just kind of living. That is essentially what a person with this disorder feels like all of the time. It feels like they are in a movie, it feels like they're in a dream, or that they're being in a third person kind of state. If you've ever played Fallout or any third person shooter or third person game, that is what it feels like. And I couldn't imagine going through that, considering like, you wouldn't really know what's real. And people with depersonalization doesn't know what's real and what's not, because hallucinations can evolve with this disorder, though it's not common. Essentially, people with this disorder just kind of tend to act like loopy and out of it, because that's exactly what is happening. They are out of it. And this comes from a coping mechanism. It seems like a lot of these disorders are kid trauma, which, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. There is vast majority of coping mechanisms out there, so I definitely can understand why some of these are more severe than others, but derealization disorder, it definitely comes from a major traumatic event from childhood or even from adulthood. It comes on just from major trauma where your brain doesn't want to be in the present. This could be, you know, from like a murder, sexual assault, like anything could really bring this on. But it is essentially a coping mechanism because your brain does not want to be in the present world. And so it's trying to protect you by pretending that you're in like a dream. But moving on, the next uncommon disorder that I have down here is the alien hand syndrome. Some of you might know what it is, some of you may not. This syndrome is essentially where a person believes that their hand is not theirs. It is so interesting, some of these mental disorders, just how like far-fetched they can be. But yes, this syndrome is one's belief that their hand is not connected and that is separate from their own body, even though it is right in front of their face. And with this disorder or syndrome, essentially their hand is anonymous or like autonomous and it does its own thing. Don't really know how I could put that into a story because I've never met someone who had it, but I'm going to assume that they cannot actually feel them like closing or opening their hand, and so that hand just like goes and does anything, which I think is like crazy. I couldn't imagine. Which is interesting because I know about phantom limb. And if you don't know what phantom limb is, this is a lot of people who get amputated go through. It's phantom limb syndrome. I guess that could be another uncommon disorder, but it's not really a disorder. It's more just a syndrome where people who get, usually who get their, like, let's say their leg amputated or arm amputated, they get phantom itching and like phantom pain. So if your arm is cut off and your hand that's not there might feel like it's itchy. And it's actually a really bad symptom to have, because a lot of people who have phantom limb syndrome tend to describe that it's the worst feeling ever, because you cannot alleviate that sensation because your brain, you know, your brain was used to having a hand there and now it's no longer there. But with alien hand syndrome, yes, it's like their hand is on their own agenda. This syndrome might occur if a person has damage to the corpus callosum. I feel like I said that wrong. Corpus callosum. Medical terms, even though I know what they are, I can never pronounce them correctly. But this connects the two central hemispheres of the brain, which makes sense considering your two main parts of your brain is what controls your body movements and everything, as well as your corpus callosum is probably in your, Well, it's like right in the middle, so of course it makes sense. Another reason that alien hand syndrome can come about if someone has a stroke in the parietal lobe. The parietal lobe is responsible for your five senses, so touch, scent, smell, eyesight, everything. And so if you have a stroke in that part of the brain, of course it's going to make you probably be desensitized, specifically your hand, which is crazy. I wonder if there's other syndromes where can you get like alien foot syndrome, like, or is it just the hands, you know what I mean? I couldn't actually find anything online about this. It is literally just alien hand syndrome. And also another cool thing about alien hand syndrome is that your hands will not work, well, no duh, your hands won't work together, but a person with alien hand syndrome could not close both of their hands at the same time because they just can't do it because one of them has a mind of its own, even though technically it's connected to the same person. Very interesting mental disorders that you can have because they're very hard to explain. I couldn't imagine having alien hand syndrome and going up to someone and being like, this is not my hand, you know what I mean? But I also feel greatly for people who do have this because I could see how frustrating it could definitely be. The next uncommon disorder we are going to be talking about is Capgras syndrome. This one I actually learned in my first year of psychology, and it is a doozy, to say the least. Capgras syndrome is where you believe that someone close to you was replaced by an imposter. And I wish I was kidding. Usually it's a spouse, a close friend, or even a family member. A person with Capgras syndrome completely thinks they were replaced with an imposter. I do know, I'm pretty sure one of the medical shows, whether that's Grey's Anatomy or whatever, there's so many nowadays, Good Doctor, all of those, one of them did cover Capgras syndrome. This can happen from brain injuries, so if, like, CTE, which is, well, it's not CTE, that's kind of a lie, but if you get hit hard in the head and you go into a coma, you could get retrograde amnesia. Retrograde amnesia is essentially a lapse in memory during that time, which in some cases can alter a part of your brain that is responsible for recognizing faces. And the story that I think was in whatever doctor show it was that they believed that the person standing in front of them, which was their spouse, got replaced by someone, and that they believe that the government was behind it, and that it was not the person that they were talking to that was right there. So the way that you can treat this is essentially making sure that the brain heals. So this could go on for the rest of your life, though this disorder is usually after a huge brain injury. So it tends to go away exactly just like amnesia, where one day someone kind of just snaps out of it and is like, oh my god, maybe you're actually not an imposter. But treatment for this is to mirror the utilized stuff for underlying disorders, like antipsychotic medications could possibly work, or any medications that could also be to help like amnesia. Though with amnesia, it is very hard to treat it other than to just kind of show someone that, hey, this is me, I promise I'm real. But it does go to the extent where even if whoever is the imposter in the situation, I feel like I'm talking about Among Us right now, but whoever they think is the imposter, even if the person is trying to convince them that they are not an imposter and have all these stories from their past and stuff, Capgras syndrome is so intense that the person truly believes that someone was replaced and that with all of their memories and everything, but that is not the person they are talking to. I've never in my life had amnesia before, so I couldn't imagine looking at someone and not knowing who they are, but I bet that is a crazy feeling. I feel like it's like the reverse of deja vu, you know what I mean? Oh my goodness, I would love to meet someone who has Capgras syndrome, though I wouldn't wish Capgras syndrome on anyone. The next disorder we have is synesthesia. I can't pronounce this word properly. If you guys are wondering why I struggle with words a lot, I actually had to go to speech therapy when I was younger because I had such a really bad overbite that I have never properly learned how to pronounce S and TH properly. I do know how to do it properly now, but certain words like synesthesia is very hard for me because there's S's and TH's and my brain gets all confused. But this disorder is really cool, actually, and Ratatouille is the best explanation of this disorder. It is basically where certain people claim that they can associate words and items with colors. A lot of people claim that it feels like that you're on a drug trip. It's also known as the hippie disorder, which I actually didn't know about. But it's because it's similar to the feeling of if you were on acid or shrooms, though it is a lot more controlled and you're not, like, crazy when you have synesthesia. But it's basically where a person's senses is confused with another sense. So it's actually bigger than just kind of associating with sounds. This essentially means that there could be sounds with colors they see. It could be taste, like certain tastes are followed by a sound, or smells with vision, or all of them together, which results in the union of the senses. This disorder actually dates back to Greek, in the Greek times, where basically philosophers wanted to quantify the color of sound, or of music, actually. They thought that music could bring on different colors. So the reason why this disorder is close to Ratatouille is because there is a scene that, if you guys grew up with Ratatouille like I did, it's like my favorite Disney movie, the part where Remy is eating the cheese and the grape and then eats them together, where he pictures the colors. That is actually what synesthesia is like, where you taste something and you see colors or sounds in your brain, or again, it could be sound, any kind of sense, really. I know there is a girl on TikTok that claims that she has synesthesia, and she does it to words. And so a lot of people tend to comment their names under her video, and she'll respond. So like, if your name's like Amber, she'd be like, Amber is, to me, is like a red fox, essentially. And so she can see in her mind what words are associated with, which I think is pretty cool. I think these are one of the disorders that I wouldn't mind to have. Could you imagine you're eating food and you're like, yes, this grape tastes like purple tree, you know what I mean? Like, I would love that. This disorder doesn't really have to be treated because, like I just said, there is no really reason. There's nothing that is bad about it, I guess, like, unless you start having tastes where it tastes bad, but there's really no effect on synesthesia. It's just basically an overactive brain, and it's an overactive part in your parietal lobe where your senses are all confused, essentially. But moving on to, actually, before we move on, I do know with synesthesia, there is the opposite to that. I forget the exact word. It's probably like synesthesia, even though it's not that. But there is one where it's you don't feel senses. Though you could argue that there is a disorder, but it's not a mental disorder. It's actually something you were born with where you can't feel anything, hot, cold, pain, anything. You're born with nothing. That one is more deadly than synesthesia, and the reason for that is because it is actually very dangerous to not know that your body is feeling pain, because pain is what keeps us healthy, right? So I've heard stories about that, where I know there was a story where a girl left her hand on a hot stove and didn't even know, and she just like burned her whole hand off, but she couldn't even feel anything, but now her hand is immobile. So couldn't imagine that. Regardless, the next disorder we are going to talk about is Alice in Wonderland syndrome. This is a really interesting one, since it can affect different parts of your body. It is a neurological condition in which one's perception of a body part is different than the rest of their body parts, which essentially is kind of similar to alien hand syndrome, but not really. So this could be as crazy as seeing hallucinations, sensory perception, and also like difference, like they could have deceptions in time and just place, everything, kind of like derealization disorder. But the reason why it's different is because Alice in Wonderland syndrome tends to affect body image the most. The reason why body image is the most common is where it comes from. Essentially, it could be any part of your body. It could be your head, your arms, your legs, your butt, whatever. And it is basically where your arm, if we go with our arm, Alice in Wonderland syndrome, if you had it, you would look at your arm and it would either be 10 times to 20 times, 30 times bigger, or smaller than what you can actually see. So if you like look at your hand, even though my hand is, you know, out of perspective, a normal size, people's Alice in Wonderland syndrome see it as way big, like they, like, and it's a perception thing where they truly think that their hand is as big as the room, essentially, or could be very tiny. It could be as tiny as like a pin needle, and they cannot decipher the difference, or they can't decipher that that is not true to what they're seeing. This definitely triggers panic and fear responses, because I mean, I'd freak out too if my arm was all of a sudden the size of this room, right? It's definitely associated with frequent migraines, brain tumors, or even can come on with drug association, which makes sense, because if you're taking shrooms, you definitely are not seeing what's actually there. But it can actually, it's most common in children's from ages 5 and 10, which is really interesting to me, because I would really like to dig into that and be like, is it because their brain is developing perception and stuff? Because if you guys don't know, well, if we get into childhood treatment or childhood development, kids actually start seeing perception after 6 months. And if you have a newborn baby, you can actually try this out. And I would be lying if I said that I am not going to do this test on my kid, because I'm totally doing it, because it's a very interesting milestone to see. And that is, again, perception, or depth perception, if you really want to go with that. But what that means is you can actually put your baby, if you have a table or anything that can mimic this, if you have a solid, like, table, and then half of the table is glass, make your baby walk across it. When they are from 0 to 6 months, they'll just walk across it, no problem. They'll walk from the wood to the glass, no problem. After 6 months or 10 months, like I said, kids can reach milestones at different ages. Just make sure you're hitting them in the specific times, because otherwise there's really no issue if they hit it later than others. But after 6 months, if you put your baby on the exact same table, it will actually hesitate to go on the glass part, and most of the times end up not going on the glass part, and that is because their depth perception came in and they can now see the ground, and they can now decipher that, hey, I might fall, which is really interesting. So with Alice in Wonderland syndrome, it's interesting to think that, I wonder if it is connected to that, even though the ages 5 and 10 are way different from 0 to 6 months, I do wonder if that plays a part in the development of the brain where you see that. But it's very interesting. Alice in Wonderland syndrome can also not just be body parts, it could be your whole self. A lot of people who have Alice in Wonderland syndrome tend to think that they're really big or really small. Kind of like, you know, the movie Alice in Wonderland, where she eats the cookie and drinks the milk. And she gets really big and small, respectively. But I couldn't imagine having that. I definitely could not imagine feeling like I am as tall as this room right now. But hey, the brain does crazy things. Like, the more podcasts I do, the more I realize how crazy and, like, how far the brain will go to certain extents for certain, like, disorders. But anyways, the next uncommon disorder we are going to talk about is a yet another hard word to say, but this one is, I'm going to look at it and pronounce it because I have no idea, apotemnophilia. Apotemnophilia. Best as it's gonna get. But this disorder is the overwhelming desire to amputate a healthy limb. What are these, like, disorders? They are so crazy. I would love to meet people who have these disorders. I am so curious. Like, I am not making fun of anyone at all. I am just, that is crazy to me. And I'm so curious about it. But there is not much known about this disorder at all. It is believed to be neurological. A lot of researchers say that it could be possibility damage to the right lobe of the brain. But it's very challenging to treat, considering that people will just continue amputating their limbs. And this will go to the extreme of damaging the limb completely by cutting it right off, or by damaging it so much that amputation is actually required for the person. So there is a possible treatment, and that is with behavioral therapy and aversion treatments. An aversion treatment is essentially taking your desire to chop off your hand to kind of let's go and chop a vegetable instead, That is essentially what it is. It's trying to trick your brain into, instead of chopping off your fingers, let's chop up some carrots, you know what I mean? To try and get that same, similar feeling. I really wonder, and I would love to know if that would actually work. If you guys have seen, there's a psychological test and trick that you can do. You've probably seen it on social media. It's where you put your hand down on the table. There is a wall covering and there is a fake hand on the other side of the wall. And you have to look at the fake hand, where a researcher will touch both hands with different items, so like paintbrushes, maybe a needle, whatever, and it's supposed to, it actually tricks your brain into thinking that the fake hand is your real hand, and the thing on social media is that they go through that and then they take a hammer and they smash the fake hand, and people actually pull their real hand back in pain and think it hurts until they realize it wasn't their hand. So I wonder if you could actually cure or like treat, I'm looking at the word again, apotemnophilia. I wonder if you could actually treat it by doing that sentry thing, and to where the researcher actually chops off the fake arm. Would it actually give the satisfaction of chopping off your real arm? I am asking the real questions here. I want answers, because I feel like that could possibly work. Someone get me on a doctor show. Anyways. Regardless, that again is a really interesting disorder to have. Like I said, I really like having appendages. I think everyone else does, and a lot of people do say that life is a little bit harder when you lose an arm or a leg. I mean, of course it is. Your body is used to all of your appendages, so can't imagine not wanting an appendage, right? But anyways, moving on to the next disorder. This one's actually the most fascinating one to me. This is Cotard's delusion. This is funny because if any of you guys like The Walking Dead or any of those shows, it actually relates to that. Cotard's delusion is where a person believes that they are dead. They literally believe that they are the Walking Dead, or that they're a ghost, or that their body is decaying. Or it can be as extreme as where a person with Cotard's delusion believes that they have lost all of their organs and all of their blood. Why? That's a great question. It's interesting because a lot of people who have Cotard's delusion actually suffer major depression and severe depression symptoms, because most people with Cotard's delusion actually don't like the feeling that their body is rotting and dying. A lot of people with Cotard's delusion actually are scared, and again, suffer a lot of other mental disorders because, yeah, it's pretty scary to think that you're dead when you're actually alive. And actually, in most cases, people with Cotard's delusion tend to starve themselves to death because they truly believe that they have no organs, or that they're dead already, that they don't have to eat, and they actually end up dying from natural causes because they're not doing anything to treat their body. This disorder was first described in 1880 by a neurologist named Jules Cotard, but more people tend to know the case of Haiti, who described that he said that he died from his AIDS and he was living in hell. And actually, BBC has a documentary called A History of Delusions, which has an interesting episode of Walking Corpse Delusion that you can actually go and listen to. And he goes in and describes what Cotard's delusion felt like. There is treatment for it. You can, with like psychotherapy, probably some medications, you can most likely convince a person that they're not dead. But it is a very scary disorder, because people end up dying from it because, I mean, yeah, they already think they're dead. But hey, I mean, if you had Cotard's delusion and were in The Walking Dead, maybe that's like a good thing. I don't know. Is it a good thing? Would it be a good thing to think that you're a zombie? I don't know. Though with Cotard's delusion, you don't eat human flesh. I couldn't imagine what the feeling of being dead would like feel like. I would love to get, if any of you listeners out there know anyone with a interesting disorder, or you yourself have an interesting disorder, I would love to bring you onto the podcast, because like stuff like this absolutely fascinates me. But on to our last uncommon disorder. This one's doozy. This one's weird. I'll say this one's the most weird out of all of them. There is, don't get me wrong, there is many other uncommon disorders that I have not listed on here. There's objectophilia. We could go into all of the philias, okay? Most people know what necrophilia is, you know, dead body fascination. Not going to get into it. There's objectophilia, where people have sex with inanimate objects. My Strange Addictions covered this, where the guy was in love with his car, or there was another guy who was in love with rubber balloons, and they actually, like, get married and have sexual stuff with them. And it's a disorder. Though I would say it's more into the fetish territory, because fetishes are a different link in the brain more than, like, a kink. I did talk about this in the last episode, where a fetish is from the brain, where a kink is just something you like, and something you can control, but a fetish is you can't really control it. But going on to our last uncommon disorder, this one is called boanthropy. Y'all, you guys aren't ready. You are not ready for this, but boanthropy is where a person believes full-heartedly that they are a cow. They will act like a cow. They will eat like a cow. They will go as far as walking in fields with cows and wanting to live in a stable. Do I argue that there is also an uncommon disorder that is similar to it? It's probably the Latin word for wolf, anthropophobia, where people fully believe that they are a wolf. Now, this is quite controversial, actually, but now that I'm talking about it, because in the new day and age, there are people coming out with neopronouns, and if you don't know what neopronouns are, it is basically identifying someone to what they truly think they are. So this isn't just he, they, she. This is, like, I know someone who identifies themselves as kitten and kitten self. There's trees. It could be anything. It could be, like, blanket self, and it is where you identify yourself as an object. Though, yes, it is a mental disorder, and it's really tough to talk about, because I am not shaming anyone for this, but you do have to, I guess, come to an understanding that if someone is perceiving themselves as something else, it is a mental disorder. Like, biologically, it is a mental disorder, but that does not mean you don't have to accept someone with it. So if someone believes that they're a cat or a dog or a cow, it's a mental disorder, but in this society nowadays, it is more welcoming in this world to accept people who believe that they identify like that. For me, it's a touchy subject. I have never met anyone who is identified as an animal or anything like that, so I'm not sure. Though I respect it, I just want to make it clear on this podcast that I am clear just talking about the science and the biological thing of it, and that, yes, technically, thinking that you are a cow or a dog or a wolf, it is a mental disorder. Whether you want to agree with me or not, that is completely up to you. Going back to boanthropy, yes, this is as crazy as where people will walk on all fours and eat grass off of the ground. Boanthropy is actually, it's very interesting, because a lot of people who have boanthropy and are acting like a cow actually don't realize what they're doing. Well, they do realize what they're doing, but they don't think that it's weird or wrong. Which I'm not trying to say eating grass and walking on all fours is wrong, though I would say it's out of the ordinary. And people, researchers who research this disorder actually they think that it is related to hypnotism, and is brought on by dreams. Could it possibly argue that maybe you dream that you were a cow and it comes on to your real life? I'm not sure. But interestingly enough, it is believed that boanthropy is actually referenced in the Bible. I'm butchering this name. King Nebuchadnezzar, I'm so sorry to anyone who's religious and I just butchered the crap out of that word, is being described as being driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. So that is a quote from the Bible that is really interesting, because that connects to boanthropy, because why are men eating like oxen? And if you don't know what an oxen is, it's just an ox, which is a form of a cow. But I, like, again, these, even though I'm kind of, like, not pointing fun of the disorder, but it is odd. Like, I hope you guys could agree with me that if you were driving past a cow field and you just saw someone on all fours mooing like a cow, I think I think you guys would be pretty shocked too, to say the least. But it is a true mental disorder, and there's many of them. There's boanthropy, there's ones like with the wolf, the cat, like it could be anything. That's why a lot of researchers think that it comes on from dreams. Or again, it's definitely a brain malfunction. And like, I want to preface that, like, yes, in this day and age, there's transgenders out there, there's non-binary people, fully respect it. I'll respect your pronouns. I think it's brave to come out if you are, like Dylan. I know that is a hot topic right now. She recently just got face reconstruction surgery for her face. She is a male to female transgender. She talked with Joe Biden. She's really up there. She's very inspiring. I absolutely love that. Strive for that. And like I said, I am at my best try and accept people who do believe that they are specific animals or specific objects. Like I said, I've never met anyone who has wanted to be like this. Do we really want to get into the topic of furries? Not really, because furries is different, though can be argued is similar, because a furry is wanting to be in a animal costume, though I'm not part of the furry community, but I do know that it's more complex than that, that it's not necessarily wanting to be an animal, it is more having a fantasy animal that is more like your spirit animal. That is what I've got it described to me. I'm totally fine with furries. If you're a furry, go for it. If you want to wear a tail, go for it. I don't care. Would I say that if your 8-year-old child wants to wear a tail to school, would I let my child do that? Probably not. But I actually have a different perspective on that. Before you guys cancel me and say that, hey, you should let your child wear whatever he wants. Yes, I truly believe that. I'll let my kid, if I have a boy and he wants to wear a dress to school, albeit he can wear a dress to school. I don't care. When it comes to tails and animal ears and stuff like that, it is completely different. And that is bullying. Regardless of how society is accepting tails and cat ears and all of this stuff to school, there is bullying, and it is, you've seen the videos where people will rip out the tails, make fun of people, like think that they're the weird kid, which, like, albeit, like, it's not socially accepted yet. So yes, if my 8-year-old wanted to wear a tail to school, I would go against it, and I would say you can wear a tail on Halloween, because that is that. And you know what, it is also the argument of, when they're 8, will they still think like this when they're 20, right? When it comes to transgender, of course. I know that a lot of transgender people are born knowing that they are a different gender, and it could possibly be the same for people who think that they're a cow, dog, cat, object, whatever. But my stance stays the same. If you're 8 years old and you want to wear a tail and ears, I won't let you, but if you come back to me when you're, you know, 16, 17, 18, 20, you're like, hey, like, I actually want to wear a tail and ears, then yes, go for it. Because, and like I said, this comes from my own perspective. When I was younger, thought that I was a different sexuality, and I actually thought that I was a cat when I was 9. I wore the kitty whiskers, I actually kept the kitty whiskers until grade 8, and my mom always told me to wash it off and was like, what are you doing? So that's why I say that. Not because I do not want to disrespect anyone and like hide someone from their true identity. It's truly because when I was 7 or 9, when I was 9 and in grade 7, I thought I was a cat. So like, maybe I still think I'm a cat considering I'm wearing kitty ears like right now. And the fact that my whole username is kitty cat. Maybe I am. And that is the best I can really describe it, because I just want you guys to know that I'm very accepting of it, though as society and as someone who grew up thinking that they were a cat and got over that when they were a teenager, that is why I would not let my kid wear a tail to school if they wanted to. Also, bullying. Bullying does terrible things, okay? Bullying leads to unaliving yourself, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that for anyone. But regardless, we are coming to the end of the podcast, so I'm going to leave you guys with this awesome fun fact. So the fun fact of the day is, did you know that the type of music you listen to can actually alter the perception you have of the world? This could be from if you listen to rap, if you listen to pop, if you listen to heavy metal. I know one of my friends absolutely loves heavy metal, metalcore, screamcore, all of that. It is linked to being more angry, more pessimistic to the world. Don't get me wrong, I absolutely love screamo. I loved screamo when I was in my emo phase. And I would say when I was in my emo phase, I was pretty depressed. I'm not saying everyone who listens to heavy metal is depressed. It is just researchers and studies have shown that listening to screaming and heavy metal music like that can lead to an angrier perception in the world. Whereas if you listen to rap and listen to alternative music, it can actually have a more sad perception of the world, depending what kind of rap you listen to. If you listen to like Megan Thee Stallion or Cardi B, you definitely get a bad bitch personality. But yes, the type of music does influence the way you listen to the world. And that is probably why Olivia Rodrigo took over the world, because everyone who has ever went through a breakup has felt that way in time. And if you are newly going through a breakup, Olivia Rodrigo, like, she's the way to go. She makes you feel good. And also sad. But regardless, as the fun fact of the day, if you liked today's episode of Just Justine Time, feel free to leave a like, leave a review, comment, subscribe, depending where you're listening to me from. I absolutely love it. Numbers make me happy. In the next episode, we are going to be talking about something, so stay tuned. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day, night, or morning, wherever you're from, and I can't wait to see you guys in the next episode. Have a great day!